Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life. Rekesuka papa 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 papa. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. We're going to read it in different three translations. We're going to read the Message translation, we'll read the NKJV first, Message TLB. That's three different translations. It says, but I discipline my body, and bring it into subjection. Are we here together? Paul is speaking here. He says what? I discipline my body and bring it into what? Subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Can you do TLB? Message translation. Okay, let's do that. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should do, not what it wants to do. Because there is something your body wants to do, but there is something it should do. And what the body should do is already written in Scripture. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, I present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what your body is supposed to do is to be presented as a living sacrifice. Know you not that your body is at the temple of the living God? Your body is supposed to be presented as a place where God himself enjoys his habitation, because he has chosen to make our body his habitation. He says, not what it wants to do. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Regardless of how the translators try to put it, every translator in reading this scripture always comes to the same point. Can you put Message translation and see what it says there? I'm staying alert and on top condition. I'm not going to be caught napping, telling everyone else all about it and missing out myself. Now go back and read forward from 26. I think it starts building. Message translation will always build. Okay. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. Living for me. Can you see it now? No sloppy living for me. Then he builds on 27. He says, I'm staying alive and on top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Verse 28. Let's see what's there. 28. Okay, that's all. Praise God. Praise God. We're talking about victory over the flesh. And I have laid foundation already. I've said a lot of things about the flesh. I'm going to build tonight, because we're going to be wrapping up everything tonight on this. Flesh can constitute the greatest enemy of true worship. Flesh can constitute the greatest enemy of your true worship. You want to present yourself as an instrument of worship before God. And God is saying you can't just present your spirit alone. You cannot just present your soul alone. You have to present your bodies. In other words, God is saying, I recognize the fact that man is commune in nature. That his mind is tripartite, as it were, in nature. That means he has a spirit. He has a spirit. He is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Are we here together? Some other theologians will explain that he is both a spirit, soul, and body. But whichever way anybody tries to class it, we know that man is tripartite in nature. And God is saying the spirit, the soul, and the body has to be totally involved for you to experience true worship. So inasmuch as my spirit is saved, my soul has to come into conformity and into agreement. So he says, I am renewed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is where you'll be able to do the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Are we here together now? So you come into perfect alignment where your spirit man is able to bring your body under subjection by instructing your soul the way it should go. So this is it. Your spirit man is the one who's experienced salvation. That spirit man is supposed to tutor the soul, train the mind so that it will understand the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the desire of God. So the information comes from the spirit into the soul. Then the soul transmits the information to the body. And the body gives expression to whatever it is that comes from that realm. And that's why it's so powerful to ensure that you are totally trained from inside. Because the impulses of our flesh are the products of the things of our mind. The responses of our flesh are simply a product of the things that we have allowed our mind to bring forth. And that's why you must understand the power of the mind is so powerful that a person cannot be saved without the involvement of their mind. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, then confession is made unto salvation, so that the spirit man will experience salvation. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? So I want us to pray tonight and say, Father, I receive grace to bring my body into subjection in the name of Jesus. Subjection to the authority of Jesus in the name of Jesus. My body submits to the authority of Jesus. I compel my body by the Spirit to submit to the authority of Jesus, so that Jesus will not only be Lord in my spirit, he will be Lord in my soul, and he will be Lord in my body. The Lord over my body, the Lord over my soul, the Lord over my spirit. I receive strength in my inner man by the Holy Ghost, energizing my spirit, empowering my spirit to tutor my mind, tutor my soul, teach it what it must know, so that the body will come into subjection. Bring my body to subjection. The spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. Therefore, he quickens my mortal body. He quickens my mortal body. He gives life to my mortal body. He gives life and strength to my mortal body to do the will of God, to follow the plan of God, to follow the purposes of God. My body cannot go the way it wants. Never. It is yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because I'm a child of God, and as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. My body does what glorifies God. My body does what brings pleasure to God. My body does what gets God looking and saying, this son is indeed beloved, doing my will, pleasing me. Repanege delebosha, ezwaka barika delebosha. Can you pray for yourself? Can you pray for yourself that your soul will come into alignment with the leadership of Jesus? Your soul will come into alignment into the government of Jesus. Ezwara bata 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 baya. Erekos kubreke delebosha. I will not tell others about church and not be in touch with him. I will not tell others about Christ and keep experiencing crisis in my life. My body come under subjection. My body come under subjection. My body come under subjection. Total submission to the leadership of Jesus. Total submission to the government of Jesus. Total submission to the plan and purpose of Jesus. Can you pray? Be sincere in your prayer.
This has to do with a lot of things. It's not just about immoral acts. It's about greed also. Greed of all sorts. You talk about envy. You talk about unforgiveness. You talk about bitterness. You talk about malice. These are things that well up in the souls, in the emotions, in the heart of men that defile a man. It is not what goes into a man that devours him. It is what comes out of a man. The life flowing power of Jesus comes out of me. This body will not stray. This body will not go his way. I compel you to obey Jesus. I compel you to stay in the place of alignment so that you will fulfill purpose. You will not go your way. You will fulfill purpose. Can you do one more minute? Pray seriously. Pray seriously. The impulses of my flesh. The urges. The desire to revenge. The desire to act. The desire to go the natural way as Adam would have gone. Never. I submit to Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, the head of all creation, the one to whom I submit today. I do not submit to Adam. I submit to Jesus. I model after him. I follow him. He leads me. He guides me. He instructs me. My body is your sanctuary. Elemente kabaya. My body is your sanctuary. You purify me like gold, so that I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. You purify. My mind serves Jesus. My body serves Jesus. My soul serves Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The psalmist said, let all that is within me bless his name. My spirit, my soul, my body, everything, my reasoning, my thinking. At a point he mentioned and he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In other words, he understood that God looks at the intents, the thoughts and the motives. And he said that the meditations of my heart will be acceptable unto you. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that the meditations of your heart, the things that you brood upon, the things that you think about, the things that you ponder on, I declare they will be acceptable in the name of Jesus. The Lord cleans his heart from filthy thinking, filthy reasoning, humanistic reasoning, and we begin to reason like sons and daughters of Zion. We begin to act like sons and daughters of Zion. In the name of Jesus, our actions will correspond with our faith. Our action will not nullify the realities of our faith. People will not question our faith as a result of our actions. Whatever we do in words or in deeds, the Bible says, do it in the name of the Father, giving glory to God. I declare in the name of Jesus that your actions will correlate with your words. Your words will align with your thoughts and it will align with the scriptures. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Sit up in heavenly places. We're going to share a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you excited to be in church?
It is my joy and excitement to share with us tonight, because I'm sure, like I said, from last week already, people already have started experiencing liberty and freedom in the spirit. It has started already. Yes, people have started experiencing the liberty and the freedom in the spirit. They are beginning to break out of shackles of addiction. Years of addiction, things that have held people down. Now they can look at themselves and say, yeah, it's 1 week since last week, and now I discover that I have broken free. And that freedom will last. It will not be a temporal thing. I didn't hear you say louder, amen. Glory to God. The flesh is the number one enemy of your true worship. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You can check the TLB or NLT and see what it says. TLB, NLT, let's look at it together. Overcoming flesh. I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice. Holy, the kind he can accept. In other words, there are certain kinds that God will say, no, this is not it. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Kai, Jesus. When you think of what he has done for you, scripture is saying, is this too much to ask that you present your bodies? Considering his death on the cross of Calvary, considering the sacrifice of Jesus, considering how much he loves you. Listen, understanding that whether or not you are in sin, Christ loves you. He doesn't just love the sin. Did you understand what I said? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying? The person who is a prostitute now, Jesus still loves that person. But he doesn't love prostitution. And that's why if the person lives as an unbeliever, God loves all unbelievers, but he cannot help them. Because they have taken themselves out of the scope of his coverage by not believing in his son Jesus. And the believer who is now saved and is living a fleshy and a carnal life, God detests completely, the same way he detests it, the way the unbelievers live, the same way he detests sin for the believer. And you see, the truth is, as much as he loves you, there are certain things he will still not be able to do. Why? The Bible says in Romans, whoever you yield yourself slave to obey, servant to obey, it says that person's slave you have become. Are we here together? Let's look at it together so that you can get understanding. I love the way he puts it here. Is this too much to ask? It's a question. A rhetorical question for you. Wow. A rhetorical question. Is it too much to ask? Romans chapter 16 verse... I think we should read from verse 12. Romans chapter 6 from verse 12. Romans chapter 6 from verse 12. Let's read it together in concert, everyone. Romans chapter 6. Let's start from verse 10. 10. Go to verse 10. Thank you. I want you to read it. Don't be in a hurry. Just read it quietly. Want to go now. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Uh-huh. Likewise, you. Listen, the death that Jesus died, the Bible says he died to sin once and for all. And this life is risen also in the same way. And this death was for your sake. And now he's alive also, because by his resurrection and by his resurrection, we experience justification. Are we here together? We're justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're declared not guilty by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, likewise, you also consider yourself. Reckon, the word there, reckon yourself means what? Consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Then what? But alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word Lord, don't always miss it. It's not just by mistake when you see the Bible referring to Jesus Christ as Lord. Who is a Lord? A Lord is somebody that is a ruler over another. Someone that you submit to. Someone whose authority you have accepted.
You have said that you are my Lord. The Bible says Sarah, you know, in reverence to Abraham, our father and patriarch, the Bible says she submitted to him and referred to him as what? Lord. In other words, she's saying that your authority, the authority that you have is over me and I accept it. If you say yes, I say yes. If you say no, I say no. In other words, when the Spirit of God says no to a particular thing, the believer who understands that he is Lord will also say what? No. Because the Bible also says the Spirit is that Lord. And you are being led by him. To go against him is to rebel. To say, no, I will not do this. It's rebellion, as it were. Is anyone getting what I'm saying here? So the Bible says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Go ahead now, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It's just like saying, do not allow flies perch on your food. In other words, you have the responsibility to keep watch over that food and ensure you chase every nonsense trying to come upon it. The same way it says you are a guard over your body. You must guard your body. You must not allow certain things. And not only your body, your mind. Because most of the things happening, they start from where? The mind. As he thinketh in his heart, so he is. A good man out of the good treasure of his mind brings forth good things. The Bible says an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what? Evil things. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. In other words, the body wants to lust. The body responds to the impulses of the flesh. Satan wants it to go in this direction, but it says you have a right. You are not under obligation to the flesh to obey your body. No, you are not. It's not you. You don't have to obey it. That's what the Bible is saying. It can say it wants to go in this direction. It says you're not going there, and it says you're not going there. And it's your responsibility. In other words, there is a part of this thing that has to do with our own responsibility. I'm going to talk about that as we move. Let's move on now. Let's move on now. I'm going to verse 16 there about, but let's move on to 13. Can we read it together? Everybody wants to go now. And do not do what? Please, let's read it together. Everybody loud and clear. Want to go now? In other words, it is if you present it that it will yield to sin. If you refuse to present it, it will not yield. If you present your hand to take that thing, it will take it. If you tell your hand, don't take it, it will not take it. So the command, garbage in, garbage out. The command will come from somebody that will tell the computer what to do. Am I making sense here right now? If you don't tell it, it will not do it. So the Bible is saying that you have a responsibility to tell it what to do or what not to do. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Very good. It says, but present what? Loud, short, let's do it together from there. But what? Did you get that? Present yourself from God as being alive from what? That means you died. When Christ died, we died. We must understand that death. It is because a lot of people do not realize that when Christ died and they accepted him, that we died. So they don't even know that we have been risen to live in newness of life. The consciousness has to be there that when he died, I died. When he was raised back to life, I was risen together with him. And now I am seated together in heavenly places. Therefore, there are certain things that are not permitted in the realm where I belong. They are not. Bitterness is not permitted there. Unforgiveness is not permitted there. Malice is not permitted there. The same way witchcraft is not permitted there. All the works of the flesh we name, all of them are not permitted there. Why? We are seated together. See, you need to understand the heights that God has brought you to. You need to understand the position and where God sees you, how he sees you, the way God perceives you. If you understand that, the Bible says a beast in the place of honor and knows not. A man in the place of honor and knows not. It's like a beast that perish. In other words, the seat of honor that God has given to you, how would you walk out of the seat of honor and walk into a clay, walk into a waste bin, walk into a mess? No. No. You must understand this. We are sons of the living God. The same way the angels appear before God and they declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God looks from heaven and he sees his children with the eyes, the lens of the Spirit. He sees us in Christ. Holy, holy, holy is the way he sees us. So he says, be ye holy as I am holy. So you have a responsibility to be. Is anyone getting what I'm sharing tonight? Am I communicating? So he says, do not present your body, your members as instrument of unrighteousness, he's saying, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. That means I am alive to live a new life. I am alive here now. When I accepted Christ into my heart, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Many people were not properly taught. I usually say this again and again because I realize many people, they is either they refuse to yield to the teachings, they did not submit, or they are not just properly taught. Is anyone getting what I'm saying here? Because if you get to look at the things very well, you will find your place. You will cherish your position in Christ. You will recognize that you are not ordinary. You are not cheap. You understand that there is a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is expected. He has given his son. He's not only given his son. He has given his spirit. What else do we want? What more? God commended his love towards us while we are set sinners. His son died for us. Then Jesus, that was not the end. The death of Jesus Christ was not just the end. It was actually the beginning of what God was about to give us. And he gave us the precious Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Not to stay on the outside. Not to move around our body. Not to come upon us and leave us. He now says, stay. He says, I will live with them. I will be in them. They shall be my people. And I will be called their God. I will not be ashamed to be called their brothers. That's what Jesus said. I will not be ashamed to call them my brothers. That's the kind of life. The certain understanding that you have, flesh will lose its grip of you. As soon as that understanding comes, flesh loses its strength. Am I communicating tonight, church? So let's go ahead, read now. Verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under law, but under grace. And Paul, speaking about grace, he talked about the fact that grace empowered him to labor more. In other words, grace strengthens me to say no to flesh. The duty of grace is to strengthen you so that you can boldly and confidently now say no. Why? The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto men. What does he do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we must live soberly in this present world. In other words, grace is a teacher. Grace helps us to understand the dimensions of the beauty and the riches that Jesus Christ has bought for us. And he wants us to live inside of it. Empowers us to live the life. Is anyone getting what I'm sharing today? Am I communicating? Glory to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under what? Grace. Verse 15 says what now? What then? Can we read it? I want to go now. Shall we sin because we are not under law, but grace? He said what? Certainly not. You know why? Because every time you teach and expose the revelation of God's grace, it makes us see so much that God has done for us. It shows us that, help us understand that we have a lot of rights to do all things. All things are lawful. They are excellent. He said, but I will not be brought under the bondage of any. He says, in other words, I will not put myself under captivity. I will not put myself under bondage. I will not allow anything hold me down. Why? Because he says, certainly not. Now that I am under grace, certainly not. I will not allow myself to live the other way. Are we here together? Now look at what he says, verse 16 there. He says, do you not know? Can you read it? Everybody wants to go now. Says, do you not know that whoever you yield yourself slaves to obey? In other words, I can yield myself to be an obedient slave to the love of God. Paul said it, that he is a bond servant. He said, Paul, I have become a slave of Jesus. I have accepted that position. If anybody thinks, and the kind of slavery we're talking about here is not the type you know. No, he's saying that I am sold out to my master and I'm more willing to be disconnected from him. That's a slave. Dolus, that's the word there. A slave that is not willing to be disconnected from his master, that has agreed that this person is my Lord and I will stay with you for life. Paul said that is the kind of servant I have become. A bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, wherever you yield yourself servant to obey, you become slave of that person. Whether you yield yourself to obedience, it will lead to righteousness. Whether you lead yourself to sin, it leads to death. Are we here together? You know, so many times, church folks like multiple interpretations that can be very confusing. You don't need it. You just need to stay in the balance. You just need to stay looking at exactly what the Word of God says. Am I communicating?
Glory to God. Glory to God. He says, you yield yourself servant, you become slave to whatever it is you have yielded yourself to. None of us will be slaves to something that will not push us into righteousness and glory in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you say louder, amen. One reason why many people never get totally delivered, no matter how anointed the man of God is because they keep yielding to the flesh. That's the reason. It doesn't matter how anointed the man of God is when he prays for a person and conducts a deliverance. No, it doesn't matter. That's not the problem. The Bible talks about the particular man in the Bible. Jesus gave an illustration. He says a demon is cast out of a person, and when he leaves the person, the demon goes where? To solitary places, dry places. He will leave that person for a while. That's what happens when people are free. I told you that there are demons responsible for certain addictions. There are demons responsible for certain things that people do. There are demons responsible for certain behaviors of people. The Bible says you can succeed to cast a demon out of a person. You can tell the demon, get out of this person's life. And because the demon cannot stand the power, the presence, that moment, it will leave. That's the funny thing, it will leave. Are we here together? But it will not leave forever. It will leave for a while. Remember the enemy we're talking about here, Satan, that we're dealing with. He doesn't give up. Satan doesn't give up. Satan doesn't stop. Satan doesn't even say, this man has served God for 60 years, so I don't need to tempt him again. He will continue. That is how daring, that is how audacious, that is how tenacious Satan can be. And how about the believer? Are we here together? How about you? God speaking about you. He said, you also, you have not strived with sin to the point of shedding your blood. So you must stay there. I'm not going to live like this. I refuse to stay in unforgiveness. I refuse to stay in bitterness. I refuse to stay in malice. Never. He cannot rule in my life. Sin has no dominion over me. You know, this thing cannot. You name that thing and you tell it, you cannot stay here. Name whatever it is. I tell it, you cannot stay. You can't control me. I mentioned all of them to us from last week. I mentioned a whole lot of them. Many, many things I mentioned. I can't go back to mentioning all of them today. But you and I know, I told you, even the way people decide to appear, there are spirits that usually inform them. The way people decide to act, spirits informing that action. Just be stubborn. Be very hard. Be very stubborn. Check what. And you just cover that. The Bible says the wisdom of God is peaceable. It's gentle. It's easily entreated. Now, if it is not the wisdom of God, it's the wisdom of what? It's the wisdom of the devil. Are we here together, church? Am I communicating? Glory to God. So see what the Bible says here. Okay, we read that already. Let me just move ahead and show us a few things. Total deliverance from the flesh will entail three things. Three things, then I will talk about how to be free, victory over flesh. Number one, total deliverance from the flesh will entail casting away the demon influencing that activity. Casting away. There's a demon of lust. There's a demon of pride. And those of us who did school of ministry, I think advanced class, I was teaching you about the names of demons and how to identify them. You identify demons by the activities. You identify demons how? By the activities. Jesus said it. Unclean spirits. You see it in the Bible now. Spirit of infirmity. They cause sicknesses and diseases. So anytime you want to identify a demon, a demonic activity, you check the activity that the demon is causing. There's a spirit of corruption. Are we here together? Paul says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. In other words, the real battle is not flesh and blood. Flesh is pushing you to do something. But Paul is saying that, calm down. The real battle is not flesh and blood. The real battle is with what? Principalities and what? Powers. The battle exists with what? Spiritual wickedness. In high places. These are powers that ensure that legislations are made to make things very easy. Sin becomes very rampant everywhere. You want to just advertise a toothpaste and you have to show a naked picture. You want to advertise an eyeglass, you have to show a naked picture. Everything. Now, there are spirits working in some of these advertising agencies. The people think that they are normal. They are not normal. They are not the ones doing it. They are being led. Oh my God. Sometimes when you preach things like this, somebody sits down somewhere and says, is that not going too far? No! You're already going the canal direction. There is a way that you must go. It's a train of a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart. When you are trained in the way of the Spirit, you will see things and you can discern that there's a devil causing this activity. Something is spreading around an environment, a particular attitude, a particular character. You can sense as a child of God that this thing is not ordinary. I cannot buy into it. Why? I see that there's a demon that is controlling the heart of people to yield to this thing. And before you know it, 1 yields, 2 yields, 3 yields, 4 yields, 5 yields. And before you know it, it's like something that is generally accepted. And people start saying things like, hey, it's normal. How did it become normal? It wasn't normal when we saw it the first time. It became normal when all of us agreed that it is normal. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about here. If somebody comes out on television and needs to advertise maybe a pen or something and comes naked. And initially, the first time all of us were like, wow, that's it. Why? What kind of this is? Then they play the advert again. Say, come on, see, come on, see, come on, come on, see. Then they play it again and again and again. And we're no longer saying, come and see. We're now enjoying it. In fact, we leave that and we start buying to just listen to whatever it is, the music around it and everything. And we say, okay, it's just an advert. It's just an advert. And you know the picture it played in your heart. And you know what it has caused many people to do. Oh God, it's not just an advert. It's the plan of Satan to get the heart of many. Please don't forget that we're in the last days. I always want to remind us again. You know why I'm reminding us? Because the Bible says in the last days. See, the Bible makes it very, very clear. It says many will depart from the faith. How? What will cause those people to depart? We look at it, I think 2 Peter or Timothy. You can check it for me. In the last days, some of them will depart from the faith. Why? He said they will start giving heed to seducing spirits. Go and check now. Check your dictionaries. Let me find now. The meaning of seduction. Check it. Seducing or seduction. Check the meaning. So that you understand what I'm saying now. Most of those organizations, seducing spirits are beginning to work with them. But we are not aware. We're not conscious. We're just thinking it is normal. It's not normal. Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Some will depart from. Just Google it like that. Then check it. Yes. Now the spirit. How does he say it now? He says now the spirit expressly says. You need to understand when God is speaking. The word of God is an inspired script. And in writing this, Paul speaking to Timothy, a young preacher, he said to him, he says, now the Spirit expressly says, expressly says. Now look at the word, look at the construction. He's saying the Spirit is expressly saying to you. That means he's saying it without mincing words. He's saying it clearly. He doesn't want you to take it lightly. The Spirit expressly says that in the last times, some will depart from the faith. How? He says, giving heed to deceiving spirits. I think King James says seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. You can try other translations and see what they say there. Doctrine of demons. Try other translations, two more translations. It says, turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with what? Devil-inspired ideas. Can you see that? Put another translation and see the way it puts it. Message. It says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase afterwards demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. Wow. They are professionals. They stand in the seat of their profession, but they are lying to us. They advertise us, but they are lying to us. They are fashion designers, but they are lying to us. They are professionals, but they are liars. Can't you see this? And it's very easy to fall prey. Many of us, probably in our stance, you're beginning to divert to this. You have to be careful. You're beginning to say, boy, it doesn't matter. Who says that? Have you forgotten the word of God? It says that we're going to give account of every idle word. Child of God, idle words. Oh my God, we don't even take scripture seriously anymore. We don't take the word of God. We're just okay with everything. After all, it's going like that. Everybody's just saying it. Oh no! No! They are preachers of righteousness in this generation. And I stand bold to say that God has ordained me to be one of such. I say with all my heart, with all sincerity of my being, that many people are deceived already. And I don't want you to be deceived. And you must also get the way to convince your friends, your family members, let them see light in what we're saying. They are professional liars. Professional liars. In other words, they are using the seat of their profession to lie. Oh my God. Professional liars. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, it's just a way to get the attention of people. And we have to do that just to get the attention of people. Are there no better ways? The Bible says it will happen expressly in the last days. They are professional liars. Can you take the Living Bible? The Living Bible or New Living Translation? Any other one? Can you check it? Do you have any other translation? That's the word. Demonic illusions. In other words, those things are inspired by demons. They are inspired by demons. Oh my God. Look at it. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits. In other words, there are certain spirits. They are called what? Spirits of deception. Spirits of seduction. Just to deceive. Okay, just the simple word to deceive a person. In other words, you know that this is the right thing, but you want to deceive us. You just want all of us to be swayed by your deception. And that's what the devil is doing. And if we're not careful, the Bible says some will depart from the faith. Deceptive spirits and teachings that come from where? But if a demon wants to inspire a teaching, who do you think he's going to go to? A herbalist? A witch doctor? Oh, that demon knows that all of you already agree that those ones are panis. He's going to come through the church. He's going to come in a professional way. Through the regular secular system where you just see it as... You know, there's something about we saying that something is just secular. You know, people differentiate worldly from secular. And can I tell you the truth? There's a slight shift. Something can be secular for a while, but it cannot be secular for too long. You know why? Yeah, secularism is just introduction of neutrality. You don't get what I'm saying now. Every time they tell us secular, they're trying to introduce a neutral stand. And I agree that it is possible for something to be secular for a while. I agree. But I tell you that that stand doesn't last, because demons are very active to ensure that what you call secular will be bent to worldly. Because they know it is difficult for you to bend the God's own. Am I making sense? But it's secular that we can bend. And if we can bend secular well, we'll get a lot of people, especially casual believers. And how many of us know that today, many people are very casual believers? Oh, they are casual. The things of God are not so serious. Why are you taking it so seriously? You're carrying this on your head. Do you have to attend an evening service? Is it necessary? What is important about all these things? Listening to messages? Do you have to read your Bible constantly? Can't you just one verse is okay? We are becoming casual. One verse is okay. When the Bible says study to show yourself approved. If you are staying on one verse for one day, I'm okay. But just one verse for 1 minute, one verse for 30 seconds. And you think like that's going to feed your spirit, man? It cannot. And guess what? You always yield to the flesh when your spirit man is not properly fed. That's the only reason you yield to the flesh. If your spirit man is properly fed, there are certain things that it will fight against. It will fight against the desire to lust after certain things. It will fight against the desire to behave in a certain manner. And that's the reason why when you just come out of a sincere, true prayer environment, there are certain things that you will detest naturally. Just because of the activation of your spirit. Does anyone get what I'm saying tonight? Are you sharing equal thoughts with me tonight? Glory to God. So that's what the word of God says. So the first way is to cast the demon off. So that's why I said, no matter how mighty the man of God is, he can cast that demon off. But the second one is renewal of your mind by the word of God. If your mind is not renewed by the word of God, you cannot do much. When the demon is cast out of a man, the Bible says he goes to solitary places, dry places, seeking for a place, a home. He will not just settle for any house. No, it's been comfortable somewhere. It's been enjoying its flow somewhere. It's been excited in a place where it's been enjoying regular, consistent sight of pornography and masturbation. It's okay there. Then why are you driving it out now? So the person comes for a meeting and that demon is driven out of that person, and the demon goes about and he's saying, wow, I lost my house. I missed my home. I don't know what's happening to me right now. I don't feel comfortable out here. I need a place to stay. Why? Demons are usually more active in bodies. That's why they always need a body to possess. They need a body to work. They need a mind to work on. They cannot just stay. If they stay as spirits, they don't enjoy themselves. There's nothing much they can achieve. They execute their counsel more when human beings yield. As soon as a human vessel yields, they do whatever it is they want to do. They carry out their uncleanness. They carry out their bitterness. They carry out their hatred. A demon carries out its activity when a human being yields. And that's why when you see human beings yield, most of the times it is a demon saying, yes, I've gotten a space to walk. Is anyone getting what I'm sharing tonight, church? So you see, at the end of the day, look at it now. At the end of the day, someone yields to a particular action or yields to a particular behavior, and the devil is excited. The devil is saying, yes, I've got this guy, I've got this girl, and I'm going to make a mess of this person's life. And the demon that is cast out of a particular person gets angry and has left and is waiting. The Bible says after a while he will go discuss with his brothers and sisters and big brothers, the ones that are stronger, bigger, bolder, the ones that are very tough, that they can come to the point where they say it is now normal to live that life. Then he will tell them, he said, come see my house. Look at, nobody is there. Nobody's even living there. That's why the Bible says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. So that it can be seen that something is occupying your heart. So that it can be seen that something is taking over that space. That place, that empty space that you left, that thing that came out of you, that bitterness that left, that anger that left, that malice that left, that habit of drunkenness that left, that smoking that left, what are you refilling it? If you don't refill it with anything, what do you expect? That the demon will just leave it like that? The Bible says no. He will go and bring seven more demons that are stronger. And that's why some people get delivered from a particular thing. The second time to be delivered is very tough. You know why? The spirit is not only going to stop them from being delivered. The spirit will try to convince them that whatever it is doing in their life is normal. Why are you chasing me? Why do you allow any pastor preach that kind of trash to you? Okay, the spirit can even take them as a deceiving spirit through the pages of scripture and start saying, look at, can this thing be normal? Can this thing be normal? The spirit can lead them to certain people who, in the name of men of God, are very liberal to accept every nonsense. And say, can't you see? Is it not a fellow pastor that is saying this thing like he's saying? They are called deceiving spirits. Say, hey. They start checking online and saying, Google, all the pastors that believe that fornication is not wrong, what do they have to say? Why? The pastors that say, or what the word of God says. So the person says something, you're like, wow, hey, that's what I'm saying. I've been looking at this Bible saying so. The Bible says all things are lawful. Hey, hey. That's a deceiving spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? That's what? A deceiving spirit. A deceiving spirit can speak through the heart of a person who is studying. He starts intentionally to study the word of God, and this man yields to the flesh. A deceiving spirit can start speaking to a man who was teaching sound doctrine today, and tomorrow he will start teaching something else. And how it happens is that, like I said, the desire to press into something they call deeper. It can't be deeper than Jesus is deep. It can't be deeper than explaining the love of Jesus. It can't be deeper than explaining how that Jesus doesn't like a particular thing. He doesn't. What other depth are we here together, church? Am I communicating? So number one is to cast out the devil. And when the devil is cast out of the person, that's number one. And I said that no matter how anointed a man of God is, that's the best that he can do to cast out the devil. That's the best he can do. Then the next responsibility now is on the person to fill up yourself with the word of God. Be not conformed with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your word, mind. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, in all knowledge. And you're studying the word of God. You're growing yourself. Then you create an atmosphere of worship. You begin to build on it. You begin to worship God. You begin to bless God. You open up the whole of your heart. You fill yourself with the word of God. And you begin to quote it by yourself. Hey, the word of God says, I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. My flesh submits to Jesus. Because the Bible says, this body is the temple of the living God. Oh, my body is the temple of the living God. I don't yield to sin. No, you're filling up yourself with something. As you're filling up yourself with that, the devil knows that the word of God will grow like a mighty, like a yeast. When a yeast is put into a flour, what they call a yeast, is that not? Put into a flour, it begins to spread. And the word of God is like that. It's like a mustard seed. You just start with that one that you know, just that one scripture. Know ye not that your body is at the temple of the living God? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there is any praise or any glory, these are the things I think on. I do not think on dirty things. I think on clean things in the name of Jesus, because I am the temple of the living God. All the Spirit of God lives inside of me. He's walking in me. He's ruling in me. I do not yield to the flesh. These are the things you must confess regularly. You know why? The words that you speak, they are spirit and they are word, life. As you are saying it, that word is building a wall of defense around you. Because the next time that temptation will come, it will realize that you have built a solid wall of defense and it's difficult to penetrate. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying tonight. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? But when you have left yourself empty and you're still wallowing in thought that, is it right? Is it not right? I don't even know what to do. Well, one day I'll just try my... Hey! You are giving the devil opportunities to mess up everything. You soak in the word. You stay in the word. You live in the word. You tell yourself, no devil can rule in this flesh. This body, I put you under subjection. Like Paul kept his body, so I keep my own body. I cannot be a castaway. Never. In the name of Jesus, I am accepted in the beloved. Because of the love of Jesus, I stay away from filthiness. You have to confess it. You have to say it. You have to believe it. You have to see it as the reality of your life. The word of God has to be built in you. The psalmist says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? You only say, Pastor, how will I do this? How will... It's in the Bible. By taking heed, therefore, according to your word. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sanctify them by thy word. You know, that's how you get sanctified. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. So you take that word of God and you sanctify yourself. You purge yourself like someone who's holding a sanitizer. That's what you do with the word of God. You're sanitizing the whole of your hand. I sanitize myself with the scripture because the word of God has said it. I believe it. You cleanse yourself. That's why the Bible says the word of God is like the washing away with water. You're washing yourself away. But when you are bankrupt of the word of God, Satan can make a mess. When the word of God is not living and abiding inside of you, Satan can do anything he wants to do. Why? Because your defense mechanism is what? The word. Have you not heard what the Bible says? Put on the whole armor of God. And one of the things it says to take up is what? The word of God. The sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. And when you're holding the word of God, you're holding it by what? Faith. So that's the shield. So you're talking and you have a shield. You're talking and you have a shield. So that whenever the devil comes next, you put up your shield of faith and say, I believe that the word of God is working in me. I believe that Jesus is alive inside of me. I believe that I'm not going to yield to the flesh anymore. I believe that he's walking inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He lives inside of me. Therefore, I'm not yielding to the flesh. His spirit is at work in me. The Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, and I know that is in me, he's quickening my body. I say no to masturbation. I say no to fornication. I do not have business with smoking anymore. I've broken out of this addiction of wickedness and unforgiveness and malice and backbiting. I have no place with demons anymore. I rule and I reign with Christ in heavenly places. This confession can change your life. But the devil wants to stop you from knowing how to confess the word. And that's why it's difficult for many people to just cram. You see how people cram lyrics of secular songs? Kai. They are so... If you want to embarrass somebody here in a truthful manner, just mention one nonsense song and tell them to say, they know the line from the beginning to the end. But by the time you're singing one worship gospel song, sometimes it's difficult for people to know what is there. You know why? There is no hunger to go search for the lyrics, but there is hunger to see that one line and check the lyrics of something, and they will say it or everything. You just need to see. Even little children are growing up and they have taught them those things. In parties with little children, 2-year-old party, 3-year-old party, you see their parents play for them and the child is doing that. And I just see little children everywhere dancing all manner of things. A 2-year-old child knows booga booga like this. 2 years. What does he understand? You see, little girls, their mothers will put all manner of lip gloss for them and all manner of things just to make them, and some of them, 3-year-old looking like a Jezebel. It's wickedness on your part. You need to let that child grow up and decide what they want to look like. They don't have to look like you. Let them grow up and decide what they want to look like. Train them in the path of righteousness and you see their decisions. It will be better. Some of us are where we are because nobody trained you in righteousness. So now you have a responsibility to train them in righteousness and see the fruit of righteousness. It will be far better. And the glory of the latter should be better than the former. There should be a better version of what we are. Is anyone getting what I'm saying tonight? They should be loaded with scriptures. I grew up in church, loaded with scriptures. I quote them. I sing songs. I just enjoy myself because that's how I grew up. And that's the environment. And if nobody taught you, nobody trained you like that, it's not too early. You can retrain yourself. You can reschool yourself. You can decide to change your world. You can create an atmosphere for your own victory and success. Is anyone getting what I'm sharing tonight, church? Glory to God. Okay, you say to yourself, I'm going forward. My life is advancing in the things of the spirit. I'm no longer a babe. I'm growing every day. All the days of my life, I grow in the things of God. Glory to Jesus. Then number 3, yielding to the leading of the spirit and change of behavior. Number 1 is cast away the demon that is responsible for the activity. Number 2 is renew your mind by the word of God. And number 3 is yielding to the leading of the spirit for change of behavior. And the way to do it is to pattern your life after Christ. Pattern your life. How would Jesus do it? How would Jesus do it? How would Jesus do it? Imagine you are Jesus at age 27 or 30. When he was 27, he lived for 33 and a half years. Imagine you are Jesus at a 25, female Jesus. How would she dress? How would she talk? How would she behave? what will be her action? Hello? Are there female Jesus is here? Just think about it. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we have a model already. We have a model. Will Jesus yield that way? Will Jesus submit and allow flesh to win over him? Never. And he's your perfect role model. Is anyone getting what I'm saying tonight? Am I communicating? Just imagine Jesus at 30. 19-year-old Jesus, 22-year-old Jesus, 25-year-old Jesus, 30-year-old Jesus, 33, 32-year-old Jesus. Oh, because he lived up to that age. Are we here together? And we began to see Jesus in the life of the apostles. At age 80, look at how Paul was living his life. Look at how Peter was giving already. At age 60, rather. Look at how they were living their lives. They gave themselves. They were excited about the things of God. They lived for God. They yielded themselves. They imitated the life of Jesus till the day they left planet Earth. If you're going to win the battle over the flesh, you must yield to the Spirit. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Are we here together, church? Glory to God. So a person that is yielded to the flesh is so useful to Satan that it becomes difficult to even believe whether they are saved. Even the person begins to doubt his or her own faith. That's how bad flesh is. You know, that's the problem with flesh. It makes you doubt whether you're really saved. It makes you question, am I really saved? That's the flesh. Because if you're not yielded to the flesh, there's no reason to doubt anything. You know that you made confession that Jesus is Lord. And the Bible says with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes, I believe that I am saved. But when you start yielding to the flesh, consistently yielding to the flesh, you begin to doubt whether you're really saved. That is how wicked the flesh is. It puts you in doubt. It makes you question everything about the reality of who you are. It makes you ask yourself whether you are really what you think that you are. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I do not yield to the flesh. I do not yield to the flesh. I follow the leading of the Spirit. Every day of my life, I am saved in Christ. I am held by Him. In the name of Jesus. Sin has no dominion over me. Flesh has no dominion over me. In the name of Jesus. That's how bad the flesh can be. It makes you doubt your salvation. It makes you doubt yourself. In fact, a person becomes so useful to Satan when you're yielding to the flesh that everybody around you begins to doubt if anything ever happened in your life to you or everything happened to you. They become prisoners of their inner self. Though they are loved by God, but yet they are prisoners of their inner self. Loved by God, yet prisoners. Loved by God, yet prisoners. Why? Because the word of God says, wherever you yield yourself servant to obey, you become a slave to that person. Whether to sin, death, whether to righteousness, life. Are we here together? Do you get what I just shared with you right now? The 3 points I just shared, you got the 3 points? Now let's talk about it practically. How do I overcome the flesh now practically? I'm going to stop so that we can take questions at the end of the day when we're wrapping up everything. Number one, be very open and identify the area of the flesh that you're struggling with. Be very open and identify that area that you're struggling with. What is that thing? The Bible says, wherefore now let us lay aside every weight and this sin. Weight and this sin. Weight and this sin that does so easily beset us. Don't try to tell yourself, there's nothing. No, you know what it is. If you know it's anger, say to yourself, I know that this anger is having a hold. In our calling, it's our business to call men to righteousness. It's not your business. Just leave anybody behave. No, we cannot. The Bible says it very clear. And unto some, hating their garments spotted from the flesh. Put it, James, is it James or Jude? Snatching them from the fire. Say, what is it anybody's business? Why are you telling everybody what they will do? Everybody should, no! Unto some having compassion. We're doing it because of the compassionate heart that we have. We don't want to see people live like dogs. We don't want to see people live like animals. No! Christians are not even the class of humans. Christians are not in the class of humans. You need to understand we are not just human beings. Oh my God, you don't understand. You see, I was listening to something yesterday. I saw it somewhere and it made me weep for a moment. I'm still pleading in my heart. You know, Reverend Dr. Mwapai was hearing something recently, and they showed a video of him, and he said, even if he preaches everything he's preaching now, that he will not cry. People will not feel pain. Most likely they will go back and still behave the way they want to behave. And he said, why? He said, we don't know the inheritance that we have in Christ. If we know what we're supposed to be doing, if we know who we are in Christ Jesus, if you know how devils and demons, sickness and disease, you fear us, dread us, if we see the heights that God has called us to and where we are, we will cry. We will cry. You will not fraternize with the flesh. No, you will run away. You will tell yourself, never again. I can't stay here anymore. There is a depth in God that I need to press into. The Bible says, consider where you have fallen from. That's Revelation. It says, look at where you have fallen from and repent. We will consider where we are falling from and we repent. A child of God easily thinking of how he's going to deceive all the girls in town and sleep with them. A man who should be walking in righteousness. A man who should be saving their souls. Like Jesus was casting out devils. You're supposed to be casting out devils from them and healing their sick and delivering them and settling their family. Bringing them out of patterns. But you're now forcing them to enter patterns again because you don't know who you are. A lady who is supposed to be yielded to the things of God and standing and supporting the work of the ministry, going about like Catherine Kuma and the rest of them preaching the gospel, is yielding to Satan, and she's saying to herself, I cannot do anything about it. No, you can do something about it. The greater one lives inside of you now. His glory is at work inside of you now. His light wants to shine through you. Jesus wants to live his life through you. Every time people look around the street and they see you, it's Jesus they see. That's the goal that Christ be formed in you. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in bad pains, until Christ is formed in you. If Christ is not formed, the apostle said he won't stop praying. Until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. Until you come to the point where you align and you know the will of God for your life. Do you really know the will of God for your life? Do you know the purpose of God for your life? Do you know the heights that he has called us to? Do you know how we kneel down sometimes and we say, God, I don't want to be a shadow of myself. I don't want to be a shadow of myself. I want to reflect Jesus. How many of us have become so opaque? You know what an opaque object is? It can't even reflect. It doesn't even have expression. And that's what happens. Sin makes you opaque. Flesh makes you opaque. You are not a conductor of spiritual energy. You can't contact something. They gave the same mantle that Elijah collected from Elisha, and he was a conductor of spiritual energy. They gave it to Gehazi. He couldn't even touch anything. Why? Covetousness are eating Gehazi up. It's not working in your hand. You need to ask yourself why. If Christianity is not working for you, you need to ask yourself why. Do you really look like him? Are you even pressing to be like him? Or we have turned to the children of Israel. You know what God did to them? God said to the children of Israel, he said, I want to come to the mountain and speak to all of you face to face. And guess what they said? They said no. From the Old Testament, they've been running. God said, I want to talk to all of you. He said, gather everybody. Tell them to cleanse themselves. Come to the mountain. I want to see all my children and be able to talk to them as a father. And guess what they said? They said, no. Moses, go and represent us. That's the generation we have today. Pastor Mavis, go and represent us. Go to the holy place. When you come, tell us what you have heard. But as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. We are all sons of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? We are all sons of God, daughters of God. We must rise and take our place. You see, Pastor, you just go and do all the work for us and come out. No, I'm not Moses. I refuse to do that. I will never accept that. Moses said to himself, he took a veil and covered his face. He couldn't even let them see the glory. Why? They didn't even have the capacity to behold the glory of a man's face. But the Bible says today, we all, with open faces, beholding as it were a mirror, the glory of God. Why? So that we are changed from the same image, from one level of glory to another level of glory, from one level of glory to another level of glory, so that one day we come to church. It says when you gather in church, one comes with a psalm, one comes with a word of knowledge, one comes with prophecy, one comes with, you know, everywhere is erupting with glory, and yet there is order. Do you know that was what happened at Azusa Street Revival? Oh, Azusa Street Revival. One man was the person in charge, William J. Seymour, and today they come for a meeting for many days. They had the experience of the kind of church that God wanted. For many days, somebody would stand up there and start singing a song that nobody ever sang before. And they would feel the melody in heaven. A lady stood up and got to the keyboard. She never learned it in her life. And she was playing melody from heaven. Our churches have gone below the standards. But we are not aware. But there is a call to wake up. And the problem is the flesh. Where one person is proud. One person feels like if the other person doing it, they don't need me. One person feels like if I do it now, this person is looking at me. The other person feels like if I say it, how am I sure it's right or wrong? But while they were doing all these things, they were not questioning it. Those who are stronger in faith will encourage those who are weaker in faith. Those who thought that they could not, they'll tell them you can. Or somebody comes to church today and probably because something is going wrong with the person and you expect that Pastor Max is going to say that, this person should not even be in this church. Oh no, I won't get anybody out of this church. Never. It is my duty to see that their lives get better. So those of us who have known God and you have seen Jesus face to face, let that your face shine enough in front of that brother and that sister and quench their addiction. That's what we want. Not to drive them out of the church. Does anybody get what I'm saying here? Yes. And we all must continue to shine before Him. Because when we shine before Him and we see others that are weak, we can pull them up and say, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. He's receiving you. He wants to make a giant out of you. And we bring that one out and that one puts a chain and tells the other one, come out. And that one puts a chain and tells the other one, come out. And from there, we see an army rising like a dead bone. All of them are coming back to life, bones to bones, muscle to muscle, tendon to tendon. All the cells are coming and life in the church of Jesus. Because we refuse to yield to the flesh. Is anyone getting what I'm sharing tonight? So the first question is to ask yourself, where is the devil taking advantage? Number two, acknowledge the victory that already exists in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge the victory that already exists in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 is clear on that. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 is clear on that. Knowledge of the victory that Jesus Christ has wrought on the cross of Calvary already. There must be an awareness of what Jesus has done, or else you have no authority upon which you lay your claim of victory over the flesh. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 6. Romans 6, 6. It says, knowing these that our old man was. Somebody say was. Hey, you didn't say. Our old man was. Our old man was. What happened to our old man? It was. What happened to our old man? It was. What happened to our old man? It was. Now that I am born again, my old man was. The old man is in the past. You must understand that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He crucified the flesh. He nailed it to the cross. Your old man was. He was once alive, but he's no longer here now. That's why the Bible says, reckon yourself to be alive. Consider yourself to be alive. Why? The old man is dead. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Jesus over 2,000 years ago. Acknowledge what Jesus did. Jesus did not go to the cross to suffer for himself. He didn't go there because he was a bad guy. No, he was a good man. Sin was put upon him. He didn't even commit sin. The Bible says He made him to be sin who knew no sin. Do you understand what I'm saying here, church? Our old man was crucified that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of what? That's why our old man was what? Jesus crucified our old man so that we'll no longer be slaves of what? Oh, church, you're not preaching with me. Jesus crucified our old man so that you and I will no longer be slaves of what? So our old man was. Somebody say he was. That means the excuse I have now is not that old man, because that guy was. Oh, like it's just like saying your grandfather is the cause of your problem. He's not. He's dead. Wake up. He was. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? The reason why my life is like this is because my mother. Hey, leave that. If they are not around, they were the ones, but they are no longer. If they are alive, they can still control. They can't control it because many of you are beyond the age of control. Only those who are under the age of control, they still decide what you eat, decide what you do. Then you can, but if you've left your parents' house or you're no longer living, you cannot say they cannot be. I told you that whether you like it or not. And some of you will say, oh, pastor will say 30 now, 30. And you're waiting for 30. You don't have to be 30 to be the beginning of a new order. I told you that you had a background. And I said the day you become 30, you become another background. Somebody will lay their own excuse as you being the background too, if nothing is done. If they ask them, why are you living like this? They say, my mother. My aunt. My whoever. The day you become, let's just put that age anywhere. But you should know that for some of you, you started becoming background at 20. You know the families you're from. You know where you're coming from. I'm making sense here now. Some of us became background at 20, 21, 22. You're already the background. Why? Because when you leave home and come back by 12 o'clock, they just say, close the door. You dress like somebody that is going to the pit of hell, and you're coming back and say, well done, goodbye. You're already a background. Nobody's controlling you. Nobody's telling you anything anymore. So you must understand that at that point, you are the background. Your elder brothers see you, but they don't know what to say.
Your sister, nobody's bothered anymore.
Because you know that there are some homes where everything is so messed up that nobody knows how to correct who. By the time the elder brother says to the youngest, ah, why are you like this?
Sister, take me while I'm about hearing. The one you brought me yesterday, how is she doing? Are we different? If you can date her, why can't I look like her? Don't you understand what I'm saying here?
So everything is messed up already. Everything looks messed up. So you are the background. Don't give excuses. The Bible says the old man was crucified. Jesus has crucified the old man already. So that the last line says that, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In other words, you cannot conclude that you'll be a slave to sin because of one old background. No! Jesus nailed your background to the cross. He is now my background. I don't have background in my parents. I have my background in Jesus. Hey, my biological background cannot control me. You know why? Spirits control the physical. They gave birth to me in the flesh. I was born again in the spirit. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about, church. They gave birth to you in the flesh. You were born again in the spirit. And the spirit controls the flesh. The spirit controls. The spirit is stronger and more powerful. You must understand spirits. You will never be held bound anymore. No longer slave anymore. In the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you say amen. So you must acknowledge it. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. See what the Bible says there. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ that does what? Lives. I have been crucified with what? I have been crucified with what? I have been crucified with what? Are you still alive?
You miss it. No. That's why.
Are you still alive? Are you still alive? What happened to you? I was crucified with. Did Jesus Christ die? That means I died. Was Jesus buried? That means I was buried. Has Jesus been raised back to life? That means I've been raised back to life. Is Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father? That's why I'm seated there too right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And whatever cannot hold Jesus down cannot hold me down. Whatever cannot put him down cannot put him down. Because the Bible says whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith in what Jesus did. My faith that Jesus has paid the price. My faith that Jesus conquered sin. My faith that Jesus Christ rules over me right now. And my flesh cannot put me in bondage anymore. I have faith in what Jesus did. As a result of that, I'm a winner man. Sin has no dominion over me. The flesh has no dominion over me. In the name of Jesus, I am in charge. I tell my body what to do. I control things from the spirit realm. My mind aligns with the word of God. My mind aligns with the scriptures. Every day of my life, I rule and I reign in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer slave to flesh. I'm no longer slave to sin. Somebody say, I'm a winner, man. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. In other words, Paul is saying that you see a guy walking on the street. Paul says, I'm not the one who... The guy you're seeing is not me. It's not me anymore because the real me. You know how many of us say things like, "Oh, if I show you the real me, that real you, that real you is actually not real. It is the Adamic you. The real you is in Christ. The real you is in Christ because God sees you in the eyes of the real you. Gideon, thou mighty man, but he was bent. He was afraid. He was scared. But he said, Gideon, thou mighty man. God doesn't see you in that weakness. God sees you in strength. And what are you supposed to do? Rise in that manner. Rise in that manner and become what God wants to see. Are you getting what I'm saying here, church? Is anybody getting what I'm sharing with us tonight? So he says, I live. He said, but Christ does what? Christ does what? Is Christ living inside of you? And the life which I live now in the life that I am living in this, he says, what happens there now? I live by of the... Are you getting this scripture at all? Are you sure you understand what he's saying here? Is this simple English? Put TLB. I think it's going to help a little bit so that we can understand it. TLB, NLT, TPT. After TLB, you do TPT. I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer do what? But Christ lives. And the real life I now live, I now have within this, is as a result of my, in the, who did what? And did what? Gave himself. Put TPT and see what he's saying there. The Passion's Translation. It says, can you read it? Everybody wants to go now. My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now, the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life.
Are we getting this, church? Are you sure it's making sense to you? The anointed one lives his life. How? So if Jesus wants to walk around Lagos, how does he walk around Lagos? Through Mavis. He wants to go to US. How does he go to US? Through Mavis. He wants to enter the shopping mall. How does he enter? Through Mavis. He wants to live a new life. How does he enter? Through Mavis. Jesus wants to get married and live a married life. How does he live now? Through Mavis. Are you seeing it? Are you getting it? Is it making any sense to you? That's what's happening now. If Jesus were to get married, then it's me. Then whenever the devil says, no, you have to treat your wife like this, I say, no, I can't treat her like that. Why? Because as Christ loved the church, as Christ loved the church, the comparison is between Christ and what? The church. Kai, what a responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? It's a very serious responsibility. The church submits to Christ. So whenever the devil is saying, do it the way you write, you say, no. You say, why? I'm under submission. My cover is Christ. I can't act like that. I can't toe the path of fornication. Why? My cover is Christ. I can't toe the path of lying. Why? My cover is Christ. I live, nevertheless, not I, but who now? Christ. It's just what a married woman does. When a woman is married to her husband, she takes on the name of her husband. Just come here, and I say today, I hereby declare both of you husband and wife. From that day, her father's name ceased to exist in her life. Kai, Jesus. So you think you still have a name? Your name ceased to exist the day Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You took on a new name. And that's why the Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name. Are we here together? And that is the name that we stand upon. That is the name that we believe. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So imagine a married woman marries tomorrow and she says that, honey, my dad called yesterday and said I have to bear my name. Whose name? Your dad will have to return the bride price. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Your dad will have to do what? Say, my dad called and he said, it's nice that we are married, but he still wants me to move back to the house. And that's how the flesh is still calling some people. They are now married to Christ, but flesh is still calling them to move back to the... Flesh is still calling them to let's do this a little bit more. Let's go back to where we're coming from. But a man who knows Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. I become a slave to this relationship. I got a permanent handcuff, chained for life. My ring and my seal is in Christ Jesus. Are you getting it now? So you look at it every time I say it is there because Christ has sealed me. He's bought me. He has purchased me. He says, know ye not that you were bought for the price. Hey, are you getting what I'm saying here? You were bought with a price. How much did they pay? How much did your father pay to marry your mother? Jesus bought you with his blood. Like every single drop of that blood, as it pushed out of him, life left him just for your sake. Life left him for your sake. Should you not honor that relationship? Should you not honor that relationship? Are you WhatsApp chatting while we're preaching? Or I guess you are trying to tell the guy the relationship is over now because you just found a new one. Glory to God. Look at what the Bible says here. He says, for my old identity has been co-crucified with the Christ the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross did what? Crucified me with him. And now the essence of this life, this new life, is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life. Can we read this loud now from here now? We live in union as? We live in union as? You know what a water dispenser is like? When you put a cup, the water dispenser dispenses itself into the cup. So that when you drink the water, you drink something that came from the dispenser. I get what I'm saying now. So Jesus Christ has dispensed his life into you. And that life is what you are called to live. You need to acknowledge the fact that he has done it already. Are we here together? How many of us agree to that now? Very good. Then number three, ask the Holy Spirit for help. And say, now I need help to live this life. Acknowledge that it's not by your power, it's not by your mind. Wow. Acknowledge that it's not your power, it's not by your mind. Tell him you can't count on yourself to help yourself. Tell him you are counting on him. Be conscious of his indwelling spirit every day. That consciousness he's living inside of me. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. That consciousness he's living inside of me. He's living inside of me. This word will help you overcome the flesh. Can you go ahead? It says, for when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant word. The only way you taste his abundant life is the life of the spirit puts away, puts to death the corruption of the flesh. So number one is what?
Identify.
Number two is what? That Jesus Christ already crucified the flesh. I'm just supposed to pattern after it. Is that not? Then number three is what? Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Yes. If you don't deal with the flesh, that flesh can deal with you. So you tell the Holy Spirit, help me. I cannot do it by myself. Then number four, stand by faith on what Jesus has done. Enforce your victory by what Jesus has done. And this is done in two ways. When you're standing by faith, faith without work is dead. Are we here together? So standing by faith comes from the position of what faith does. Faith speaks. Then faith acts. Please listen. This is where the answer is. And you will get it now. Faith speaks. The kingdom operates by the principles of faith and a confident assurance upon God's word that if he has said that he has crucified the flesh, he really did it. And so I'm going to confess to the devil whenever that urge comes. Or the devil is saying, you can now click that site. Nobody is around. It's 11 p.m. And of course, this is a good time to enjoy. This is your regular porn site. Now, what are you supposed to do? Faith speaks. Then you start talking. This life I live is no longer my own. I'm not under obligation to obey you. Now, listen, you must talk. If your faith doesn't talk, you will die. Faith must talk. The Bible says the word is near thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith which we speak. You can't say you have faith and you're not talking. You can't say you have faith and you're under pressure to commit sin and you're not speaking. You can't say you have faith and the devil is already putting in your head, telling you things, giving you pictures that you're not supposed to see and you're just there. You're supposed to talk back. I talk back, even today I still talk back to the devil. Sometimes I'm driving and the devil is telling me the particular way he wants me to behave about the particular situation. And I'm like, hello, how can you suggest that? I speak Yoruba a lot. The devil I deal with listens, he understands Yoruba. Yes, you know, the devil around Lagos is the common language he understands is Yoruba. So I usually have to talk to him that way too. Yes, if I get to France, the devil there will understand that French. You know, demons are not all-knowing. They work in territories. So the ones that they position here, they are those types. That the people who serve them will put chalk, they'll mark themselves. These are the kind of devils around here. Do you understand? But the ones in Europe, they are suited, clean, intelligent, intellectual devils with strong debates and arguments. Devils have level. Those ones in your father's house, they are very small. Those ones, they need mirror to walk. These ones, they don't need mirror. When they talk, to mirror in your heart. May God help us in Jesus' name. The devils that will make people wake up, leave their house in the morning and start going naked on the street. How did you convince them? What did you tell them? The power of ideologies. They're powerful. I get what I'm saying here? Huh? Powerful. If they can put it in the mind. The devils in Africa try to walk through your flesh. They want to put something in your body. No, it's not the mind. Mind control. Let's leave those guys. Let's just finish this thing. So you talk. So for instance, you are under pressure to go and say smoke. And you know that it's a dirty habit. It's an unclean habit. It affects your lungs. It affects your liver. It's going to affect the temple of the living God. Are we here together now? It's going to affect the temple of God. It's going to have a bad testimony of your faith. And you know that this will affect people around you who are supposed to accept Christ. So the devil is saying, go do that. And you're saying to yourself, no, I don't do that anymore. Instead of saying, and Pastor Marvin's not talking this year. No, you will not get answers like that. There is something about the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful, not my own words. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? You have to speak the word of God. It's quick and powerful. You have to start talking to yourself. I am bought with a price. I don't listen to your voice, Satan. This body is the temple of the living God. Hey, I glorify God in this body. I sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song in this body. It looks like it is childish. It looks like a joke and like a play. But can I tell you the truth? That is how you will win. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. All the while you thought you were wise, why didn't you overcome? Follow this, my childish method, and see the results. All the thoughts you knew how to do it, all the times you thought you knew how to do it, you were falling. But now follow this and see the answer. Then you start talking and say, no, I cannot do this. It is not possible. It is not possible. The devil is saying, lie now, lie. Say, why should I lie? Hey, he that is born of God will not lie. The truth of God lives inside of me. Jesus Christ has appeared and he has brought grace and truth. I speak only the truth in righteousness. In the name of Jesus, I'm a man of honesty. I'm a woman of integrity. Everything about me is true. You are rehearsing it before they will come and ask you that question. Because you know they will soon ask you the question. And as soon as you rehearse it, they say, who did this? You say, oh, I'm actually the person who did it. It was a mistake. And you know the funny thing about life? I've had this in anywhere. When we're children, we usually will say they lie because they're going to beat you. But now you're an adult. Nobody's going to beat you. You still lie. So you see, the problem is not about the cane. It's not. She was, why are you lying? Because my mommy, I thought they're going to beat me. Now it's an adult. An adult. Like, nobody's going to beat you. And they're like, say this. And, no, I don't even know. Nobody will beat you. They will not trust me again. If they eventually find out, it's worse. But by the time you say the truth, you'll be trusted. Say, I'm the one who did it. I'm really sorry about it. I apologize. I'm sorry for doing it. Please don't let that happen again. Or maybe the person gets angry and shouts. And I'm really sorry about it. And that's all. That's all. Your African mother will slap you. Oh, take the slap and move on. You turn the other cheek. By the time she realizes that you always tell the truth, she will not know what to do about it anymore. Have you even discovered that when they discover that you know how to tell the truth, they respect you from a distance because you're actually different from them. You are telling them that you don't allow the Adamic nature rule you. Are we here together? So somebody discovers that you're struggling with masturbation and you're talking to yourself and you say, no, I don't use this body for my own purpose. I use it for the purpose of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, this body does not yield to itself. It does not satisfy the desires of itself by itself. No way, because the body is the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God lives inside of here. This body is sanctified. In the See, you will enter prayer atmosphere. You will enter worship atmosphere. You will come out. And guess what? You will not have to be doing it every day. That devil will live for a while. Before he comes back the next time, you have loaded more energy. Before he comes back, after a while, he will forget you for a long time. You need to know this devil. You need to understand how it works. He will come back. But after a while, it might be the first time you overcome that masturbation today now. It might be the next week the vision will come. And you fight it again. The next time I come will be 3 weeks' time. You keep fighting because then the next time you just remember one day, I used to have issues with this thing. That's how it works. But the devil will make you feel as if, if you sneak up tomorrow, you cannot escape. Yeah, it's a lie. He will be as tenacious as he can for that first season. But guess what? The Bible says when he tempted Jesus and Jesus gave him his place and said, get out. He left for a season. And for you, that season can be 2 months. He will come back again, true. But when you're strong and you oppose and discover that the way you even kicked him out was so swift than what you did the first time, he will give you maybe like two months and then maybe 6 months, then maybe 8 months. Child of God, you realize that about 1.5 years, 2 years, 3 years of your life, you just discover that the last time it came, it was a flash. It was not strong. I don't know. Is anybody broken out of something here before? You just discover the last time it came was a flash. It was a suggestion again. Like a geometry was talking to us earlier that he went to a hotel one day and Satan still flashed his mind to go back to marijuana. And he was like, after how many years? I don't come out. I don't think. You know, he will not stop suggesting it. No, he will not. That's how mad the devil is. He won't say because you are married, he won't suggest adultery to you. He won't say because you are holy and righteous, he will not suggest fornication to you. It's a lie. He will keep suggesting it. But guess what the Bible says? Casting down all imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. See, we don't cast that imagination by doing like you talk. Casting down is a word you use. Am I making sense here now? So what I'm teaching is the way out. You cast it out. I cast you down. This imagination to go back to smoke. Imagination to go back to pornography. Imagination to go back to adultery. I don't belong there anymore. Why do you seek for the living among the dead? I am risen from that place. I am alive with him forevermore. I have no business with this addiction. I am free. Whoever the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. I'm a free man.
fact, you celebrate your victory all by yourself. In fact, when there are people around that you don't want to shout, you'll be saying this: I'm a free man. Thank you, Jesus. Get out of my life. You can't stay here anymore. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. My body is the temple of the living God. The Holy Ghost lives here. He perambulates my body. He moves around my body. All of my body, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I am bought with a price. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all over. I cast that thought out. I cast that thought out. While it's at the thought level, you must cast it out. Don't let it come to execution. If you allow it come to the point where he's already leading you to the joints, you are in trouble. You must not allow it. As he's saying it, go to the joint. You say, no, if I ever go there, I'll surprise you, Satan. Then you carry your Bible. I'm going on evangelism. And you get there and you start preaching to the people there. The devil says, what is your wearing? I will never tempt you next time. And by the time you're coming back, one soul is already won. And the devil is saying, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Christ. If I had known, I would never have tempted this lady. Because the same place he was trying to tell you to go. You say, if I ever go there again, I'll be an evangelist. If I ever step there again, even the guy selling that thing will be converted. And the guy say, Amor, this is why they preach to us now. 1 week now, you go come back. You say, no, my brother, I don't discover something. Say, follow me. Yes, we'll go church. We'll go, come. Bring him here. Bring her here. When they come here, the word of God will sanctify them. The Bible says, sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. I believe the word of God I preach with all my life. I'm not preaching the word of God because I feel like. I preach it because I know it has the transformative power. I know it has the ability to cleanse people. I've seen it with my eyes. Not like I heard. No! I've mentored people from the abyss. From abyss of close to final bus stop of prostitution to becoming daughters of Zion. So I know it works. You see, you're trying to, let's do trial and error. No! This is not trial and error. This is a perfectly proven truth that the word of God delivers people. I've seen it. So you take the first step of faith by talking. Somebody say talk. You cast that devil out. Remember that there's a demon around the atmosphere. There's a spirit controlling the activity. So you must talk. You spirit of this action, I command you, get out in the name of Jesus. You have no place in my life. Oh, my body is a temple. This mind is sanctified. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, I meditate on it. In the name of Jesus, I'm a free man. Thank you, Jesus. And you start giving thanks. As you start giving thanks, it works. If it is an act of fornication and you are there already, you are there right in the act, and the guy is robbing you, he's robbed your shoulder, he's coming around here, he's getting close to your butt, and you remember, you say, get out of here, don't touch me. He'll say, are you okay? Are you mad? He said, don't touch me, you can't do that anymore, you can't do that. And he's like, wait, calm down, what's wrong with you? Calm down. You say, no, like Joseph, what do? You flee. By the time you run away from your room, your neighbors will ask him what he's doing in the room. He said, come back. He will carry his trousers. It's because you are not talking. You like it. Yes. If you don't, you will talk. Joseph didn't like what Potiphar's wife was going to do. And what did he do? He ran. The Bible says he left his clothes. You know what that meant? The Bible says he pulled his clothes and he left it for the woman. And that was the evidence he had to show her husband that Joseph was fighting with her. See, lying spirits. And he was trying to fight with me. He was trying to seduce me. I was telling him no. And he held me. Look at his clothes. I held him tight. I can imagine how Joseph would have felt. Joseph would have said, PhD. And he stayed in the prison. Do you know Joseph did not come out to say, after he became the prime minister, say, call that woman. Now it is time to show Potiphar's wife. Power has changed hands. Guess what? He also learned forgiveness through the process. He learned forgiveness. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? So guys, listen. You just realize that by the time you sit down, somebody's already touching you, getting close to your chest. That's not the time to start speaking in tongues. You will not reveal anything. You're not going to, no answer. You are finished. And you're there. And you pick your phone. Let me play Pastor Mavi's tongues. There's no susu. It will not work. You flee. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? You flee. You run away. You say, you run away. I told you my story. It happened to me. Shut up. And I told her. I said, somebody will die here. You know, like a mad person. I said, somebody will die. It's either you die or I die. I made a covenant with God. Somebody must do what? Die. I can't forget. I want to have a feel of a pastor. Brother, I don't understand that. Like I'm holy, the blood of Jesus runs through my vein. Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, firebrand. You're not scared of fire. You want strange fire? I don't have strange fire. Glory to God. So that day I can remember how that I pushed and I said, stop that. And she got herself. And guess what she said? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I can't forget how she sent a message. And she said, now I know that you're a true man of God. Your testimony will be spoiled if you cannot stand your ground. I can't forget the message. If not that that phone got missing, I would still have that. I would have framed it. No, it's worthy. Testimony worthy of framing. I can't forget all my life. I should have framed it. Now I know that you're a man of God. That thing happened on a Thursday. On Sunday, I had ministration. Early in the morning, as I was going to church, was when I saw the message. Meaning that as probably she was going to church, she was remembering it. And she sent the message and I saw it. Ah! Hey! So, me, she man of God, tell her. You have never been a man of God. Until you overcome, you are not. Until Abraham was able to bring Isaac, God didn't say, now I know that you fear me. It is until you overcome the temptation that you can claim something. And that's not the first time, that's not the second time, that's the third time, and several times over. Where I've sent messages, I've been preaching somewhere in Ogba the other time, and I finished preaching, I came up with books, and I saw messages. I like your face, I like your lips, I like your... Pastor, that's your spiritual. You must be, you're mad, girl. You're mad. I got angry at myself, and I told God, I said, God, like, I don't understand. I don't understand. What exactly happened? And God told me that it is the depth of the loss. It doesn't have to do with you. It is the depth of her loss. And that's why some people, you will be in the dream. Only you, you'll be seeing man of God touching you. You are a lady that needs repentance. You need what? Repentance. How can you be seeing man of God touch you? A man of God church closed because of that. Because before you know it, in the dream, he started touching all the ladies in the church. And before you know it, they started having a meeting. And they said that the man of God is touching. And sincerely, the guy wasn't doing that. But guess what? The spiritual boundaries seem to be open as a result of that. And sometimes it might be that the boundary is locked, but the devil, through deception, is using the face. Lying spirit. Do you want to believe the devil? No, don't ever. Don't ever. He's a liar from the beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So the first one is speak. Then the second one is walk. What is work? Faith without work is what? Dead. As you are talking, you will move out of that environment. As you are talking, you say, I'm not going to bear the buy those things. As you are talking, you are telling yourself, I'm going now to confess my fault to that person. And I say, forgive me. So if it's unforgiveness, as you are talking, I refuse to stay in unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I'm a carrier of the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Then you are picking your phone immediately. And you are checking the person's number. And you are sending a message immediately. I'm very sorry for what happened. I'm sorry for the way I spoke with you. Please forgive me. And as you do it, Satan will so hate you. Like you are mad. Guy, so weak. You're so weak. You can't even stand your ground and defend yourself. Say, yes, I don't have any self. I am crucified with Christ. You'll be telling immediately, nevertheless, I live. You pompous, you send it. Unforgiveness will just melt. Flesh dies when you follow the leading of the Spirit. Is anyone get what I'm saying now? So as you are speaking by faith, faith without work is what? Dead. You take the next action. Either you leave that environment. Either you take that your phone and put it for charging immediately or switch it off and say nothing for you tonight. And you go back and you get strengthened and you tell yourself, I'm not going to be chatting nonsense by this time anymore. You stay off. Sometimes you might have to discipline your body. Paul said, I punish myself. You know what the punishment is? Some of you might need to leave WhatsApp, leave TikTok, leave Snapchat, leave all those. There are some chats that you belong to that we are not supposed to find yourself. I don't know what people are doing in some places. Anytime you go to the place where people don't go to, there's something you're looking for. Those of you that know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Glory to God. And finally, listen, when you have done that, keep soaking in the word of God and prayers. After you have done that, just know that you need to keep soaking because Satan will come again. But you need to build more strength. The way you overcame the temptation of today, he will come with another strategy. But the more you soak in the word of God and prayer, the Holy Ghost is the master strategist. So he will give you a better way to overcome Satan the next time he comes. Does anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Does it make any sense? Prayer helps. Prayer will change you. Prayer will build you. Prayer will build you up. Prayer will help. The word of God will strengthen your conviction. The more of the word of God you know and you're confessing, the weaker the power of Satan over your life.
Have you been blessed today? Are you sure you're blessed today? Are you sure you've learned something today? Yes. So no matter the prayer and fasting and casting out of demons, if there is no intentionality on your side to yield to the Spirit and stubbornly discipline yourself and avoid the works of the flesh, you will never find true freedom. You must deal with that stronghold. You cannot break free. That's what the devil is saying. Tell him it's a lie. That's a stronghold. It's not easy to live a perfect life. Tell him it's a lie. I'm not talking about that. I'm living about the holy life. Satan is strong and he knows how to get his victims. I don't believe that. You are not as strong as Christ and you cannot hold me down. Can you see now? You are breaking strongholds. As soon as that idea is telling you that you cannot stop. You've been doing this for the past 5 years. It's not easy. Says a lie. Shut up. Shut up. If any man is a new creation, my life has started afresh. 5 years cannot be counted into this. I'm a new man in Christ. You must just be renewing your mind and cleansing and pulling down the stronghold. The more you pull down the stronghold, the more you find strength to live the victorious life. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to flesh. I am a child of God. Say, I'm no longer. Questions right now as we plan to wrap up the service. I want to take questions, one or two questions. Paul said something. I myself with the same mind. Have you seen it in the Bible before? Romans chapter 7. Have you seen it? Please get the mic. Let question flow. Romans chapter 7. Put it for me. Romans chapter 7. This is your mind. That's where the battle is. Here. The stronghold. If you can deal with it from here, you win. You win. Romans chapter 7, go to somewhere around verse 7 verses before the end. That's verse what? I thank God. 7 verses. Just check, count 7 verses before the end. Romans chapter. Is it Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. It's just up there. Can you put up that slide so that if anybody has a question that is very deep and serious? What's happening to Romans? Romans has deleted. Read it. Romans chapter 7. Just count 7 verses backwards. Okay, don't put on the screen Romans. Just put the slide so that people can follow the slide. Just follow slide. Let somebody read Romans. Romans 7. Is it from verse 19? Give her the microphone. From verse 19. Read it. Romans 7. You will never be a slave again. This thing is not as hard as, so don't let anybody deceive you. You see, if you are talking to somebody that has not been through it before, you say, maybe the person fell from heaven. It's a lie. I have testimonies of countless people that have shared their experiences and their testimonies. My book, Overcoming Sexual Temptations, I've had people send emails to say, Pastor, that was my deliverance. Just by reading the book, I found my answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not like they're saying something that is not real. No. Let's go ahead now. Please, you can use that for a question that is really personal and deep. And you want to say, but if you want to share personal, or just use the Slido. Everybody use the Slido. Everybody can read and write. So just use Slido for the questions.
For the good that I will to do.
The good that I will to do.
I do not do.
Use Passion's translation. Use Passion's translation. Somebody just listen. I don't even need to pray. From last week, people already started getting answers. And I know somebody has gotten an answer this week already. People are coming out. Strengthened. The next time that temptation shows up, you will be stronger and wiser. Yes. You were designed to please God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You were designed to do what? Satan wants to make a mess of your life. That's why he's always pushing you into something that will either weaken you, weaken your faith, doubt yourself, doubt God, everything. But you must not allow it. Are we here together? Go ahead. Passion Association.
My lofty desires to do what is good
are
dashed when I do the things I want to avoid.
Yeah.
So if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it.
Can you see it? So it is not real you that is doing that fornication. It's not real you that is down unforgiveness. It's not real you that is in that malice. It's not the real you that is finding yourself going back to that addiction. No. It's not the real you. The real you wants to do the right thing. But this one is sabotaging you. It's a sabotage. It's the flesh sabotaging your real identity. Because if it silences your real identity, you'll never live your fullness of life. So that's it. Go ahead.
I must conclude that it is not my true identity doing it,
uh-huh,
but the unwelcome intruder of sin.
Intruder of sin.
Hindering me from being who I really am.
Kai.
Through my experience of this principle,
uh-huh,
I discover that even when I want to do good, evil is ready to sabotage me. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God.
Wait, I want to see one person. When we're asking us to write the things 2 weeks ago or so, people wrote what they wrote. You know why? There is a desire to break free. If there is no desire to break free, nobody will write that I am struggling with this. There's a desire to break free. That means the person has agreed that this thing has become a problem to me. That's the only reason they can boldly say, this is my problem. That means I agree that this is the problem. Whoever is still hiding their own and didn't say anything, you enjoy the sin. When you are tired, you come. You say, I'm tired of this rubbish. Go ahead.
But I discern another power operating in my humanity,
uh-huh,
waging a war against the moral principles of my conscience,
yes,
and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin.
Kai.
This unwelcome intruder in my humanity.
Okay. Yeah.
What an agonizing situation I am in.
Kai.
So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the
unwelcome... Can you say it now? Who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome...
From the unwelcome intruder of sin and
uh-huh
death?
Uh-huh.
I give all thanks to God.
See the answer. Go ahead.
I give all my thanks to God.
Yeah.
For his
mind...
Wait,
he just asked. He said, who has the power to deliver this... me, my real identity from this unwelcome intruder? He now said, thanksgiving now starts. He said, I give thanks to God. For what?
For his mighty power has finally provided a way out.
What is the way out?
Through our Lord Jesus,
uh-huh,
the anointed one.
Uh-huh.
So I left...
So I acknowledge what Jesus has done now, first. Uh-huh.
So if left to myself,
uh-huh,
the flesh is aligned with the law of sin.
If I leave myself, my flesh will naturally follow sin. That's why I said you will fight it with your words. You will fight it with scripture. You will fight it with action. Because if you leave yourself, it will go that direction. It's like a dog without a... Is it a leash, they call it? It's like a dog without a leash. The dog will go anywhere it ended. But guess what? The word of God is like that leash. It directs you. It moves you. You say, no, you're not going that direction. You must tell your... Because your flesh wants to go radical. And when it eats rubbish, the dog will come back with disease. But when it refuses to eat rubbish, it will be healthy. Your spirit man will be healthy. Your life will be beautiful when you refuse. When you allow the word of God to help guide you. Go ahead now.
But now, my renewed mind is fixed. It's fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principles.
My renewed mind is fixed on and subject to God's what?
Right.
So the answer is my renewed. How do I renew that mind? By the word of. So when that mind is renewed, it's fixed on the principles of. That's why the Bible says, set your affection on things that are above and not on things that are beneath. Set your affection. You know what it means? It sets your affection. It's like setting a wall clock. I'm the one that will set my body and say, no, you're not going there. I set my mind. I said, this is where my mind must go to. You set it. How many of us have something you have set before? You set it. You decide that I want to set it like this. You tune yourself to the frequency of the spirit and stay there. When the flesh is coming, it cannot get you anymore. Why? Because your mind is renewed. Your mind is renewed. But you cannot win without the renewed mind. That's why I said the word of God is what you'll be confessing. You'll be saying it. You'll be pushing it up and to give you victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Questions? Are they there already? Okay.
Good evening, Pastor Sir.
Good evening,
church. Okay, so, first question. I have been praying about an unbeliever that God should remove the person from my life, but God keeps telling me I'm supposed to be the one to change the person. Yet, I sin with this person. My flesh is weak to say no. And I keep hearing I'm supposed to pray for the person with Ephesians prayer.
I can tell you confidently that you think it is God saying that to you. That's your thoughts. You know why? God will not give you a temptation that is bigger than what you can overcome.
If that thing is beating you, then you switch and change the route. If you find yourself falling into sin with somebody, and you know that you cannot stay in the... God cannot tell you to stay in the environment of sin he knows will weaken you. Rather, he will tell you to come out from amongst them. So how do you prove that voice? You prove the voice as against scriptures. What does the word of God say? Flee. What is that voice saying? Stay. That's not the voice of God. Because the voice of God will tell you to do what? Flee. That's the principle. So wait against the word of God. God is saying flee. It's possible that that person, you like the person already. It is your flesh already likes the guy. Maybe he has 6 packs or he's tall, dark and handsome, fair and colorful. I don't know. But can I tell you the truth, my dear? You are a lovely child of God that God wants to set free. All you need to do is very simple. What you need to do is listen to the voice of the Spirit through scriptures. You cannot trust the one you are hearing there. If you cannot hear scripture enough to flee, I cannot trust that voice that is talking to you to stay. I trust scripture more. Because the word of God, the final authority is what? Sorry, the word of God. And follow scripture. Don't follow that voice. What does scripture say? Flee. Appearances of evil. Flee what? Appearances. It didn't even say evil. Flee what? Appearances. Appearances means that anytime you find yourself in an environment that will yield something, you flee that appearance. Flee. Don't appear there. So the truth is that that person can also be telling you that why are you trying to... Let me tell you. If you have not read the book, I will look for that book again and bring it. 4 kind of guys that enter into the pants of every lady. It's a Christian pastor that wrote it. I've told you some of our girls here before. The guy can be telling you that, why are you doing like this? It's not fair. I'm also weak. And I'm trying to be helpful. I'm trying to help myself. Why won't you help me? Just help me. I believe that God brought you into my life to help me. Bro, eh? Yeah. You are finished. That's what we call pity piper. Pity, pity, pity. Pity, 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 you finish you. From pity, pity, you enter the pit. So when a guy is crying in front of you, tomorrow, are you going to leave me like this? I cannot help myself. No! Tell him, I'm not leaving you. God is with you. But I have to go. Guess what? When Jonah was thrown out of the boat, out of the ship, what happened? Fish came and carried Jonah. There is another firebrand, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, enabled sister that will help him, not you. The one that will slap him when he raises his hand, she exists. And he will know that they discipline flesh. But for now, you need training. You need learning. You need to grow. You need to renew yourself. Your flesh is already falling towards the direction of that inclination to that guy. That is why. But daughter of Zion, shake yourself from the dust. Stand up. Don't listen to that voice. Listen to scripture. The word of God is the full and final authority. I can trust the written word of God more than what you heard. So trust the written word of God.
Okay, the next
So the answer
question.
Is, break free from that guy. Don't stay around him. He's not the person.
I'm struggling with masturbation, but the way I do it is a special way, especially when I sleep. How do I overcome it?
The truth is that... Stop laughing. Whichever the situation is, it's the same method. You're struggling with masturbation, you speak to it. There's a spirit around it. You know that the spirit of the unclean spirit, the spirit of immorality is around that environment when that thing happens. Now, if you go to a brothel, there's a spirit around the brothel. If you go to where they smoke in their head, there's a spirit around that environment. As we are here now, what's here? Where 2 or 3 are gathered? Is it not in spirit? Where demons are gathered, what's there? Let's not commonize and trivialize spirits. They are everywhere. The only thing is that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But evil spirits work based on territories. And as soon as an activity is prevalent in a territory, they pitch their tent there. Have you not read the book of Revelation? He said you are in the place where Satan's seat is. Satan's headquarters. So there are places where Satan sits. In this community now, there are places where Satan sits. There are places where he sits. He gets people en masse. In every area, in every community, all over the world, everywhere. That's why they are called principalities and powers. Prince of the power of the air. So they control a particular atmosphere and say that everybody in this atmosphere, the young men, see, I came to this area and God told me how the life of majority of the young people in the area, men, will end if they don't change. And I know it. I still have the key. That's why I said that if any person around this area consistently listens to what I'm saying, they'll break free. There's a code. It's not just, you don't enter an area and just start talking. No, we understand the devil's walking in the territory. When I see the activities of people, I can tell this is the demon around here. And take time to pray. You study. You see the activity of the demon again. Play over the level. Play over yourself. That's it. It's not something that is so hard. Anybody can design it. So let me not sound and look as if, those pastors, they say, you too can see it. If you are careful about the things of God and you want to know the demon that operates the environment, you will know. That's the truth. So that masturbation is the same thing I said. You start speaking and say, I rebuke you, urge, in the name of Jesus. With this body, I serve the law of God. I do not serve the flesh. I do not satisfy myself. It is not the desire of God. This body does not belong. You know that before you marry, your body does not belong to you. Before you marry, your body belongs to who? After you marry, it still belongs to, but God hands it over to your spouse. So your spouse can do whatever they want with the body, as you can do, but not against the word of God. For instance, some people's spouse can force them to do something that can destroy their lives. Maybe somebody says you want anal sex by destruction already, you die. That's a sickness. Do you get what I'm saying now? So within the confines of marriage, your spouse owns your body. Paul said, do not defraud each other. That means you cannot tell me no perpetually. There must be a reason for the no, and I also have a reason for my no. So both of us, oh, you own my body, I own my body. So I can do what I want with the woman's body. She can do whatever I want with my body because we are married. They are legally married. Now, when people are not yet married, you cannot do what you want with your body. There is never a time in this life that your body is your own. Even in marriage, it's not your own. It's your spouse's own. You need to understand the principle. God didn't give the body to you to do what you like. That's the way he designed it. That's why he said, no, you know, your body is at the temple of God. Which, yeah. Then when you get married, he said, don't defraud one another. Your body does not, he didn't say it belongs to you. He said it belongs to that spouse. Why? If God gives you control of your body, you will destroy it. You kill yourself. So he didn't give you control. He gave it to your spouse. He gave it to your husband. He gave it to your wife. Then as a single, he says, it is my own. Use it to serve me. That's the way it is. And that's why those who refuse to marry for the sake of the kingdom, they are called eunuchs. They chose to use that body to do what? Serve God. Is anybody going to say here now? So it's the same thing. Use the same principle that I shared and you break out of that. And if you need special counseling, you can book counseling online. We can talk about that.
Next question says, as a fashion designer who makes attractive and seductive dresses for customers based on demand, does that mean I'm doing the things of the flesh?
That's actually another issue for discussion. Somebody will say, that is fashion, that's my business. I do whatever. Now, if they bring something for you to do for them, it's different from when you conceive something to do and sell to them. Get it? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. If somebody brings a particular thing and say, this is what I want, do it for me, you do it. But if you, as a designer, decide a style to do as a model design, do something that is befitting and modest. In other words, this is what I do to sell. This is what you came to buy. It's like I have a shop where I am selling goods and somebody who is not married comes to buy condom. I won't say we don't sell it. If you don't sell it and you are operating a pharmacy, government has issues with you because they are trying to stop something that you are allowing. Are you what I'm saying now? So we sell that thing. You get what I'm saying now? But I am not the one that called you to come and buy it. It is something that under the law, we have to sell this particular thing here. So the same thing, if you come to me that you want to make clothes, I will make the kind of clothes you want for you. But if I decide to style and design as a designer and I have models, design patterns, I will design and pattern something I know will cover a human being and be modest. That is the balanced answer. Do you get what I'm saying? You say, no, I don't believe that. I can do anything. If you do anything, it's like somebody saying, I can give anybody anything to drink, whether they ask of it or not. So when they ask and you are going to give somebody something, give them what is right. If they say this is what they want because this is the, I'm going for occasion, blah, I want this. You sew it, you are in fine designer, you sew the clothes and give them the clothes. Let them go and wear it. The sin will not be on you. If you get the answer, I don't know if anybody gets what I just said now. Yes, that's it.
Dear Pastor Mavis,
yeah.
I was disvirgined by my youth pastor. I got pregnant for him and he made me abort it. Still has sex with me even when I don't want to. I find it hard to forgive him each time I am in school. I feel free and forgiven by Christ. But when I get home, it is like I am in bondage. What do I do?
Okay. It is not common to hear things like this. It's not because I'm not responding because it's my first time. I've heard it over, but I'm pained because it is something that is coming from the quarters that it should not come from. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes. It's not expected that a child of God be the one that will do that. You see, anytime as a child of God, you do such a thing to another child, the Bible says you are defrauding one another. You'll be judged though. You are taking advantage of a daughter of Zion, a son of God. You are seductively messing up a guy, or you're seductively messing up a lady. You'll be judged for that. Go and check the scriptures. Go and check the scriptures. So for this lady, my answer is very simple. You need to stay away from, since that environment usually stir up that thought inside of you again, you need to stay or forgive the person and stay away. Forgive the person and stay away. He will not force you to come. And if he calls you, you'll be bold enough to say, please, don't destroy my life. I have learned the truth. I have found the truth. And I don't want to have anything to do with you. Remember, there are people in your life that even as you are forgiving the person, you know that we cannot flow again. Because flowing with you is a temptation to me. I love you sincerely and I have forgiven you. But see, the sight of you awakens flesh in me. So I will stay away. That's how to do it. So you will stay away from that person as much as possible. Stay away from that person. And be sure that he is delivered and is not doing it to another person in the church. Because you might have to be careful. If he's doing it to another person, you need to report now. Because there might be another lady in the church that that person is doing it with. Because when people are stuck to flesh and they don't deal with it, they always have one victim per season. One victim per season. Unfortunately. But I pray that God will help such a person wherever he is. And for you that has said it here, I believe that you have heard this truth and God will strengthen you. As he has taught you the word here, you are free. You will not only be free in this geographical location, you'll be free everywhere. Freedom is everywhere in Christ Jesus. It's not only when you're here. Freedom when you get back home. You just avoid that association. If he's still the one taking one thing or the other, be sure to pray and know whether he's doing it to others. You need to report. If you don't report, you will ruin many other ladies who would have been free from the bondage that the guy will put them in. So that's the wise thing to do.
The last question says, I get wrong thoughts and imaginations after my prayers and study at night. I would stay up late at night imagining rubbish. Help.
Sleep off. Why are you not sleeping? Why are you staying awake? Like, I don't understand. Sorry. I just said it that way. But the truth is this. The night hours are usually very critical. If you are not careful, your charts between the hours of 10:30 to 12 can be very dangerous. If anybody makes commitment to you by that time, don't accept it as true. It's just an emotional thing. If anybody tells you they love you by that time and they're talking about some strange things, don't accept it yet, because they will start sending strange pictures. They will start saying rubbish. You know why? Night is the time where devils are more active. Why? Human activities are coming to a halt. Demonic activities are rising. That's why night is critical. As soon as humans leave the streets, spirits take over the streets. I don't know if I say this, it looks like everything is so spiritual, but life is spiritual. I don't know how else you want somebody to say, life is spiritual actually. That's why you see how the Bible describes them. They are powers of darkness. Darkness. So as soon as darkness is swapping and light is moving, demonic spirits are more active and ferocious at night than in the day. They are more. It doesn't mean they don't work in the day. Hello? The stars are still shining in the day, I hope you know. But because of the light of the sun, they don't find expression. As soon as the sun gives way, the stars will now show that they exist. That's what happens when the daytime is moving off like this and the night is coming. The demonic powers are more active at night. They are more ferocious at night. They are more deadly at night. And the spirits controlling lust and sexual immoralities. How many of you think that if they do all this bar in the daytime, in the sun, in the afternoon, you think they will sell? They will wait till the cool of the evening. Then if the cool of the evening is not okay, they will enter the night. The thing enters them more in the night. Don't you understand? That's why the Bible says the works of God are done in the night. It says we should awake from your slumber. Arise from the dead. There is something about darkness, death, night. So any chat you are having by that time, you have to be very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. Stop the chat. Target yourself, put yourself under control and say that anytime I'm not going to be chatting with opposite sex by so kind of time, especially the ones you know that you are sexually addressed. Sometimes you're not sexually addressed to somebody, but the attraction can start that night.
and the infatuation will rise that night. And your misbehavior will show that night. You wake up in the morning to start sending sorry messages. And realize that you have messed up everything. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So what do? You just sense that you are going towards that direction. Immediately, you cut off that chat. Disconnect. Set a target for yourself. I won't chat by so time, especially with the opposite sex, just to be free. And you do that. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And if you wake up at night and you feel like at night, bad thoughts usually come to your head. Very well. Just go to, what they call it there. Get 2 hours tongues, praying in tongues. And just play it and stay there like that. The bad thoughts will not go so fast. They will still go. Bad thoughts don't fade fast because you are praying. No. You can be praying and the bad thoughts is still coming. But watch it. It will start fading. Watch it. It will start fading. Watch it. The first 5-10 minutes it might still stay. By the time you are getting to the 20th minute, it's fading. By the time you enter the 30th minute, you'll be losing control of yourself. By the time you enter 45, you are out of yourself. The Holy Spirit has taken over. You know why? That is why the Bible talks about persistence. Persistence in the place of prayer. That woman kept praying and she was praying until the unjust judge showed up. If that thought persists, don't stop praying. If you stop praying while the thought is still active, you have not prayed through. You pray through when your prayer swallows up that fleshy thought and you ascend in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So don't think that because you are all the thoughts will disappear. It will continue to flow. In fact, they will be now active, very active. They are free radicals. They just be flying like that. Then gradually, as you are praying like that, it will start fading. It will start fading. It fades. Everybody, some of us, it's not bad thoughts. Sometimes it's thought of activities. Go and brush your shoe now. Go and wash your clothes now. Why is your clothes still dirty? You now see broom that is on the floor. Satan will now give you work. Start cleaning the table. Reba. You now forget the reba and start sweeping the house. It's Satan. Sometimes it's not bad thoughts, it's activities. Sometimes it will remind you of a call you have not made since. You say, okay. Shaba ya ba 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 ba. WhatsApp. Every time we'll be sap. 1 hour you'll be there. Nothing. May God deliver us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Where you are, let's just pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Begin to talk to God in 1 or 2 minutes and say, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what I have learned. I have broken free from the grip of the flesh. I'm a free man in Christ Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're giving thanks, if there's somebody in church tonight, you want to accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, do you want to get born again tonight, can you just raise your hand where you are? As everyone is seated, just raise your hand quietly. I'm going to pray with you. Raise your hand. You want to accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? You want to make a decision? You want to rededicate your life, or you want to accept Christ afresh for the first time tonight, or rededicate your life? Raise your hand as I pray for you. Raise your hand right now. God bless you. Can you say it after me? Just say it where you are. Raise your hand and say it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. Close your eyes. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I receive forgiveness of sins. I rededicate my life to you, Jesus. Cleanse me from the filthiness of the flesh so that I can perfect holiness in the fear of God. I declare I'm born again now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Flesh is a visitor you will fight till you leave this body. Always remember it. It's a visitor you always fight till you leave this body. But you have the victory every time you do the things I just shared with you now.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.